Well, good morning, everybody. I get to say that loud because there's a lot of people in the room today. I don't think we've had this many people at church since early March, so it's good to see everybody with us today, and good to see everybody online as well. It is a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We couldn't say that last week. That was a disaster. There were a couple of churches in town, I think, that got water coming in their building during the sermon, which is a little... I said somebody should have preached on Jonah, but... we bless those churches this morning, hoping that they're able to worship with their folks as well. But yeah, challenging Sunday last Sunday, but we're happy to be here in God's house today. Glad for everybody to be online with us. It's wonderful to see everybody. If you're online, let us know. Drop a comment or something. Let us know that you're here, and we're so glad you are. Couple of announcements. The first one is real easy. If you've got prayer requests online, start putting them in now, and we'll gather those for the prayers of the people here in a few minutes. So please go ahead and start doing that. Before David comes up, are there any other announcements going on in the church right now? Anything else going on? Jackie, we're good on books, I think. We've gotten a ton of books. If people do need more, have more, feel free to bring us novels and those sorts of things. We'll give them away at Christmas. But we're good there. David, I'd love for you to come up and talk to us about what we did Friday, and along with some other folks, and we'll talk about the mobile food pantry. So everybody welcome David Birdsong. He's the one who put this thing together, by the way.
Wow, it is really great to see this many people here today, as Jason was saying. On Friday, we really had a great day, and I think our efforts glorified the Lord. Our church partnered with the Providence Baptist Church Food Bank, Food Pantry, and we fed 153 people, which I think was a great effort to serve the needs of our community. What we did is we purchased a tractor trailer full of food from Second Harvest Food Bank, and it was an overwhelming success from a couple of perspectives. Number one, we had a lot of people from this church come out and support us. That was great, as well as Providence Food Bank and community volunteers. We had people that came out and were part of this that had no connection to either church or the food pantry. So it was a great community effort. So I really want to take this time to thank people, because there's a lot of thanks to go around. First of all, without the volunteers, this would have just been an idea. This couldn't have come about without the help of a lot of people. And first of all, I want to thank Jason and Debbie Nolan at the Providence Food Bank for their help and leadership in putting this together. I also want to thank, as I said, everyone here from Jenkins who participated. That was a great effort, much, much appreciated. Also, the volunteers from the Providence Baptist Food Bank, and as I said, the community volunteers. There were really three distinct groups of volunteers. Our goals for this was, first of all, to feed the people that were in need of food in the community. And it wasn't just Nolensville, but the surrounding community. If you think about it, we're in a period of high unemployment in the middle of a pandemic, and a lot of people in need. We saw that need, and we wanted to, even though we did this on a Friday, we wanted to time it the way that we did, because we felt like that's where the need is and when the need is. We also thought that our church could benefit from coming together. If you're like me, I've spent most of the time at home watching the live stream. Well, that's fine, but at best you feel a little disconnected when you're not coming to church like you normally do. And I felt like doing something like this would be an opportunity not only to serve God, but to pull the group together and to feel more connected as a part of the body of Christ. So if you want to support this effort and you haven't yet, you still can by donating. The cost of the tractor trailer was $2,500. We've got part of the money, but not all of it. And if you want to support this, there's still time to do that. Finally, I got reminded by my daughter of a scripture that fits this real well. It's Matthew 25:40. And that says, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Thanks.
David, thank you so much. David, I got to tell you a quick story about how this all began back, 3 months ago now. He read Purpose Driven Life. I had mentioned it in a sermon. I hadn't even read it. I just mentioned it in a sermon, and he decided to get the book and read it and felt like there was a calling that we could serve the community and serve the Lord, and that's what happened, and I thank God for it. And here in a moment, we want to have a prayer specifically for those who needed food, because we recognize them coming to that situation means they're in difficult circumstances, and we want to pray for God's blessing for them. Before we get there, if we could, let's all stand for the call to worship. We call ourselves unto worship because God is worthy of worship. Amen. 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 So we have it this morning from John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came unto being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not overcome it. Preacher should know what he's supposed to be doing up here. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, regardless of what we know and how it's going here and what we remember, we know that you have been there since the beginning. When the beginning was spoken, when it was spoken, let there be, you are already complete and whole. And God, we thank you for that, because it allows us to look back and recognize there is so much weight bringing us into this moment. We know, Lord, that from the beginning of creation, time is built and brought us into this place right now to talk about your goodness, your greatness, your awesomeness. Talk about how we are to love one another and live in this world, and a promise that will never, ever end, no matter what. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for this day, this gift of a day that's been given to us. And we ask you to give us strength. We ask you to give us courage. We ask that you take away and strip away all pride so that we can just stand before you and thank you for everything you have been to this world. We thank you, God, that today is a thing and that you have given it to us, the Creator, our Lord and God and Savior. So allow us to worship, and then send us forth from here to go share the word with everybody we can find. And we pray this in your name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Our musicians are doing such a wonderful job. James didn't have to try to surf the waters to get here today. Sorry you couldn't make it last week, but we're glad to have you back, brother.
I learned what to say, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
It rose. Yes. We'll have our first song. Thank you all so much.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through, and I feel this God song rising up in me. Sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through, I can feel this God song rising up in me. And I sing hallelujah, Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, sing hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah, your love makes me sing.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, at some point in the future, we're going to get to be able to sing together once again. In the meantime, James, y'all, thank you all so much for lending us some music so that we can worship through you all. Let's go to God again in prayer with the prayers of the people, if we could, in the offering. Gracious God, we thank you that we can turn to you in these days that are such a challenge and know that there is a voice that hears, or an ear that hears our voice. We lean back on the stories of Scripture, all the way back to the Exodus and even before, Lord, recognizing that you're always listening to those who are crying out. And so we ask you, God, in this time that you do the same thing and hear our cries. We know that Regina Baker and her family are dealing with lung cancer, and we know, Lord, that they need your blessings. Lord, please bless them. We know Cynthia Lucas has been dealing with issues for such a time, and we ask, Lord, for you to bless her as well. And Lord, we specifically pray this morning for the 153 families that needed food on Friday. We recognize, Lord, they're in a difficult place, or they wouldn't have come out for that. And so we ask, Lord, they find your blessings today so much more than yesterday and so much more tomorrow. We ask, God, that these things happen because we know you're a God who does amazing things. And Lord, we now mention those other people who are, we know in our hearts need prayer. We mention them aloud now, those names, Lord, of those whom we need prayer for.
John Sullivan, we have his heart.
Brandon Lucas.
I prayed for my son-in-law, who's done remarkably well after heart surgery.
Pray for the family of Frank Barrett.
Scott Smith, Wilson
Smith. All the people affected by all these different hurricanes.
We thank you that we can come to you in prayer and open up to you. And we know, Lord, that there are some things that are so heavy in our heart that we don't dare mention those names. But you hear them. You know the weights on us and those we feel for other people. And so we ask you, God, to care for us in this time and to lift us up. And we also, Lord, ask that you remind us to put legs on our prayers, that we can go in the world and serve and do and give and be in this world. We can be your presence to other people. And we ask, Lord, that you weigh heavy upon us to show us how to do that, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to give to the church. The church can do amazing things in this world to share the gospel. We thank you, God, for asking for us to give. And we give in everything that we do to you, Lord. And we pray it all through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture that we're going to read this morning is from Genesis. It's 15th chapter, the first of the six verses, a story I think we're all pretty familiar with. It reads this way. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, no one but your very own issue shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned him as righteousness. This is going to be an odd sermon. I'm sorry. I'm talking about mystery this morning, and there ain't no sermon about mystery. It's going to be tight and well put together. So I just go ahead and apologize in advance. So I will say this. I don't like mystery novels so much because the mystery is over by the last page in a mystery novel. If I want to know, I'm sorry, Ruth and Suzanne both. I apologize for this in advance. But I'm impatient, and so I know that the mystery on the last page can be solved if I just flip there. So mysteries don't do that. But I do love a good mystery. I think we all love a really good mystery. I think that's why we all love Scooby-Doo so much, right? I like Christmas. I mean, I like mystery sort of like Christmas. At Christmas, the packages start to appear under the tree. They look all beautiful. They have bows on them and such, and you know one of them's yours. So as soon as someone leaves the room, you sneak over and you look and see which packages are yours. We like a good. Is it a T-shirt? Is it a shirt? Is it something for a hobby? Is it a book? It's a mystery, man. And mysteries mean that just because you don't know what's there doesn't mean something's not there. I love a good mystery. I think what I like about mysteries is that they don't get all tied up nice and tight by the end of the book or after the last commercial break in your TV show. You know, if you're watching NCIS or whatever and somebody did something, we know really good and well that right after that last commercial break, we're going to find out everything we need to know. Problem will be solved, case closed. Wanda next week's mystery, same time, same station, probably the last same commercial, mystery solved. And that's fun, no doubt. It's entertaining, and part of life is being entertained. I get that. But a real mystery is hard to figure out. And really, we don't want to figure it out because then it's no longer a mystery and we can't enjoy it if it's not a mystery anymore. I'll give you a weird mystery I was thinking about the other day. Why do we drink cow's milk? But like of all the liquids that we could drink, all the food, all the milk from other animals, who was like suddenly, let's try the old cow's milk. What knucklehead nephew, and you know it was somebody's knucklehead nephew, was the first to think, I'm going to go drink the cow milk. It doesn't make a lick of sense. You can't pay me to drink any other mammal's milk, including human milk, but give me some chocolate milk, old Gertie, out in the field and watch what happens. You see what I mean? I looked it up the other day. Nobody knows why we drink milk, by the way. Just some folks in Europe 7,500 years ago thought it was a good idea, and now we got ice cream and butter, so it's the darndest thing. But that's a mystery, right? We don't understand why, we just do. I'll tell you another one that's not silly, it just whoops me. It's a real one. It's when I'm out somewhere in the middle of the night and the stars are just, well, you can see all of them, you know what I mean? Y'all get that out the farm quite a bit. You look up and you just can't imagine that there's that many stars in the heavens. What is that, a bazillion? Is that how many it is? The North Star, by the way, is called Polaris. You've seen it, big bright star. It's far enough away, Polaris is, that it takes 680 years for the light to get from there to get to us. The light that you see tonight when you look at Polaris, the North Star, is 680 years old. It left that place in the year of our Lord, 1340. And I wonder, how can anything be that... You know, there's one star named Icarus. It's nicknamed Icarus. The official designation is J1149 plus 223 Lenz star 1. So says the internet. It's the farthest star away that we can see. And it's 5 billion light years away. It takes light 5 billion years to get from there all the way to us, which means... As I sit back in my faux Adirondack chair and look up at the stars and I'm pondering life, trying to figure out why am I here, what am I doing, what's God in this moment, I do so illuminated by light that is 5 billion years old. Light from almost the very beginning of time, from the moment that God said, let there be. And I look at the heavenly bodies and I see Mars holding court and Venus showing off and then realize that there's all these planets around those other stars too. And here I am. Here we are. just spinning around on a rock for a while, hurtling through space, talking about God and neighbor and trying to make sense of it all. And to me, that is the most beautiful mystery, you all. What a miracle that we are even here in this room at the same time. Our life is unfolding every second we live, and we don't know what's going to happen minute to minute. How could we? It's a mystery that's 5 billion years old. What's your mystery? What makes you just throw up your hands and thank God that you don't have to understand? God does it, and that's enough. And I'll just sit here in the mystery and just be dazzled by it. That's what Abraham was dealing with. You know, he was dealing with a mystery. How can this be? He said. We know the story. Sarah was old. I ain't trying to call her old, but the Bible calls her old, so we'll call her old. Abraham was old too. They didn't have any kids, and they weren't going to have any kids. Those days were past them, and now God had a different plan, though, of course. One day, God showed up to Abraham and said, "You are going to have a great reward, Abram." And Abram was Abraham's father, or Abraham's name before the covenant. But Abram was still thinking about the sons that he didn't have. Sons were very important in those days. In that day, you were defined by your oldest male child. No pressure, son. The oldest male child continued on the tradition. You don't have any problems with you, Wes. You're good. So, but the male child was an important part of Abram's culture. And so Abram didn't feel rewarded. Reward was not something that he really felt that his life was getting despite all his riches he had around him. He just didn't feel as if the reward had been given to him. So Abraham heard God, and he was a little like, "Yeah, God, really? Because a reward that's really interesting, being that my entire inheritance is going to go to a slave from Damascus. Damascus is in Syria. God, I don't know if you know this or not, but he ain't from around here. And he's going to get my inheritance. And so, yeah, exactly how is it that I am rewarded, God? Please explain that one to me," right? But because God is awesome, God didn't take any offense. God understands. And so God took him outside. There were no city lights. They didn't have light pollution back then. They hadn't any pollution back then, I guess. It was just a crisp, dark, dark night with clear skies and every twinkle on full display. And God said, "Abraham, do me a favor. I lost count of how many stars I created. Would you do something from? Would you count the stars? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 1, 2, 3, 4. Count them, Abraham. That's how many your offspring shall be. That will be your family. There'll be as many as the stars." And how ridiculous must that have sounded? I'd want to know exactly how is it going to be. Have you met Sarah? But here's the thing. Abraham didn't say any of that. Abraham just accepted the mystery. Abraham didn't ask how it was going to work. He didn't ask for a full briefing on the matter. Abraham didn't ask to see the fine print to see how it was going to go down. Abraham didn't ask any of that. Somehow in that moment, Abraham embraced a mystery that he was facing. There was no explanation for that he received. It was just, here's a mystery amid a promise, and Abraham, that was enough for him. See, Abraham didn't need an explanation before he followed God's path. Somebody needs to hear that again, so I'll say it. Abraham didn't need an explanation before he followed along on God's path. Abraham didn't need to get the whole plan before he was on board. The mystery would suffice. Whatever unfolded in his life would be that. It'd be a mystery. And for Abraham, that was enough. It was enough that God called it good. Abraham didn't need a big old long explanation. He believed God and just lived the laughter of, "Yeah, how's that going to work? Okay." And Scripture says that God reckoned to him as righteousness, that he just followed. Followed God straight into the mystery. No matter what God says, do we walk into the mystery? If we read a bit of Scripture that we don't understand why it is the way it is, it doesn't fit maybe with how we see the world, but we read it anyway, and God says it anyway. And if that happens, do we follow God into it anyway? into the mystery? Do we find ourselves into the mystery? Or have we tried to explain the mystery away so we don't have to live in that anymore? I told you this sermon was weird. Let me try to say it another way. I've said many times that I think faith and life and existence is much more like a journey than it is a destination. I really don't know what I meant about that the whole time, but I kept saying it because I thought I believed it. I think what I mean is that this mystery that we live, this life that we live, this weird existence that we are a part of, I think sometimes we humans too quickly try to explain it away. We too quickly try to put things in categories and put things in definites, and we arrange life so that we can explain everything we encounter. We don't like things that we can't make sense of, and so we're always putting things to where they belong so we can get through life a little easier. But what if we didn't try to have all the answers? I mean, some answers are good to have. I want to know my medicine works, you know? But we can still search for answers while we know that those answers will only bring out more mystery. I've read a bunch of smart people say that the smarter they got, the less they realized they knew, and the more they knew they had to see. Think about it like this. If we learn a little more about God, I think it should cause us to have more questions than answers. If we learn about God, it's not to put God in a box, is to realize how much more about God and life and everything else there is still to understand. Like Abraham, you don't think God was even more mysterious to Abraham after the miracle than before? You don't think that after Sarah was pregnant, Abraham didn't just revel in this mysterious God that just did this? Who can do this, he must have asked. God can. How and why is a mystery, but it's bigger after the fact than before. That's how I want my faith to be. I want to be leaning forward in my faith, always seeing God just in fleeting glimpses and then following God right into the cloud of mystery so that I know I can never get God figured out. I can't know God unless I realize that God and everything about God is just a mystery. Love my neighbor as myself? Really? You don't see mystery in that. That's what I mean by faith and life being a journey and not a destination. There is no destination in a mystery. There's just experiencing it, man. There's just joining in it. There's just living in it. There's just going for the ride. That's the journey. Maybe I'll say it like this. God and God's creation and God's way, God's whole mystery, is more like a poem than it is a high-rise skyscraper building. In a high-rise skyscraper building, you build it, and you know what it's going to look like before it gets done. You know pretty much kind of what folks are going to be in it and occupying the spaces. Sometimes you even know the company name of who you're building it for. You know what kind of tenants you're going to have. Everybody will come and go on a regular schedule to stand strong against wind and rain and the sun beating down on it. But really, it's just a building. Math and material put it together, and it's just that. Someday it'll be sold, and someday it'll be bought, and it'll be sold again, and then somebody will tear it down and build a new one. But a poem is never done. Not even after it's written is a poem finished. It's never done. Now, just on a side note, I hate poetry. I really don't like it. I don't think that way, but I like the idea of poetry. Someone writes down what they feel in the most abstract of terms. They rhyme it, they scheme it, they punctuate it, they massage the language, they contort the language and prepare it for us and then lay it on a platter for us to do as we please. That's a poem. A poem can mean whatever we want it to mean, right? And that's God. That's a mystery. I'll give you an example. You may have heard this poem in high school by Robert Frost. It's called Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening. It goes like this. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He won't see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. A little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near. Between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake as if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep. But I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep and miles to go before I sleep. What's this poem about? It's about a man on a journey passing through an area that was absolutely beautiful. Snowy northern woods, probably New Hampshire. A scene straight from a painting. So he stopped by for a moment, even if the horse had no idea why. Man, those woods, they were beautiful that night too. The sound of woods is soft when there's snow. The soft is almost the sound itself. But I can't linger. I've got promises to keep. Miles to go before I sleep. Miles to go before I sleep. Now, I'll never be in a horse and buggy in the winter, stopping in the woods on a snowy evening to take a look. That's not my life. But don't we know the feeling of being caught between those moments where we really want to sit in beauty, but knowing we got miles to go before we sleep, man? Do I stay and do I enjoy this moment, or do I go and take care of the promises I've made for myself? Do I hang out with the family, or do I go work on school? Do we do what makes our heart sing, or do we fulfill the obligations that we've made for ourselves? We know this feeling of this poem, don't we? Miles to go before we sleep, but man, these snowy woods are beautiful. What I'm getting at is that poem is never done. It's on a journey, that poem. That poem means something different to every single person in this room. And it means something to us in different places of our life. It's alive every time someone reads it and understands how the poet feels. That poem lives in a mystery, meaning something new all the time. And what I'm saying is that we ought to have a faith like that. Faith ought to be like that, a mystery continuing to unfold with every breath we breathe. No stopping point, no explanation will suffice in this life. We don't have to have it figured out. We don't have to have every I dotted and every T crossed. You, bless you, you don't have to know how the Trinity works. Amen. I just know God saves me. Our life and our faith can be like a poem, a truth that we know deep, that's always unfolding. I don't know why the faith works like it does, y'all. Feed your enemy and pray for him. Extend grace and mercy. Side with the least of these. All that's just insane. But still, our job is to walk into it and trust that God's got it figured out. It's a mystery, but we like mysteries. It's okay. So strap in and hold on. Ain't no telling what's coming next. I want a faith like Abraham's. I don't have to know how it works. I don't have to know how everything about valuing my neighbor works as much as I value myself. I just have to do it and see what happens and watch it unfold in a different way every time God calls me to do it. It's a mystery why, but we do it anyway. So my prayer for all Christians today is that we relearn how to embrace the mystery of faith, how to live life like a poem and not a textbook, a journey and not a destination. Because this world and this faith and this life is such an incredibly bizarre mystery. So different from anything else that we know. Anything different. Nothing is close. There is something new to learn and to experience and to be a part of. Ways to grow and change and feel and be. And there's no end to that path of faith. We just keep growing. Keep experiencing what it means to be a child of God, loving each other and valuing each other as much as God would want us to. And we can't do that if we're just positive we have all the answers. It takes embracing the mystery of what we do not know yet. And that's where I pray that we all come to be. Icarus is 5 billion light years away. And it illuminates the mystery of God. And praise be to God, we got that light to live in, man. Embrace the mystery of this life, church. Embrace it. And I'll quit being weird now. God's people said, amen. We have one final song today for our worship service. I am thankful to see everyone here. I'm thankful to see everyone online. God bless you all for joining us. And as we have this song, maybe we can just all think of ways that we can experience this beautiful, mysterious life. Let's go to God through song.
Sing praise.
outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Will carry on, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is.
God, one more time, please. Gracious God, we come to You one more time in this service, but when we leave this place, we come to You one moment after another, just looking for the mysteriousness of this life, of this faith. Lord, draw us in. Succor us in. However You got to do it, make sure, Lord, that we see that beauty so that we can follow You wherever we go. We thank You, God, for everyone in this room. We thank You for everybody who has been online today. We thank You, God, for all of those people who are part of this church, whether they've joined us today or not. We thank You, God, for that. We thank You for Friday, and we thank You for whatever comes tomorrow. That's just as amazing. Lord, we thank You is all we do because You are with us forever and ever, whatever that means and however it works, that's who You are. So send us out from this place. Don't allow us to be the same people we were when we walked in the building. Change us, manipulate us in the best of ways, save us and send us to go share the word with everybody we can meet. Lord, release us from this place, but never from You. And all of God's people said, amen. It is good to see everybody. I can't wait to be at the back door where I can hug and shake hands again, but we'll just kind of do this for now. So God bless you all, and I'll see y'all next week. Blessings. See y'all online. God bless. Take care.